I'm just going to pray quickly one more time for myself, for you guys. Heavenly Father, I pray that today that we would be ready to hear about your will, that we would be ready, Lord, to act when we do hear your still small voice, God. I pray that you would give me courage and boldness, Lord, to speak with confidence of the things that you have revealed to me this past week. And I pray, Lord, that even for myself, that I would receive this message with joy and with gladness, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, so I hope this passage sounds familiar, because Pastor Sam spoke on this passage last week. And so I'm just going to hit on a few refresher points before I begin. If you were paying attention last week, Pastor Sam's main points were that it is not wrong to plan. The person who makes a plan, that's fine in God's eyes. However, God desires that we acknowledge him and his will in our plans. Therefore, we don't make our plans apart from God. God has the final say. God is the one who determines whether or not you will do this or that, as the passage says. And so that phrase that Pastor Sam is trying to get us to remember to say over and over again, if the Lord wills, is to cultivate your heart and your mind to a position where you can say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. And the idea behind it is submission to God's will, but also aiming to please him and to obey him. And that's the relationship part. So, but the question is, once you get there, you're saying, okay, God, I want to please you. I want to obey you. I want to do what is in your will. The question becomes, what is God's will? The Bible talks about the will of God, and it's you have to sort of figure out for yourself what will of God that it's talking about in the Bible. So you have to look through each and every instance of the will of God and to figure out. Now, there's about five categories of the will of God, and you don't need to know the names because it's seminary stuff. But what you do need to understand is the concept and the ideas behind it. So I'll go through. There's five. The first one is the decreed will. These are the things that are ordained by God. From the beginning, the foundations of the world, God has made these things to be so, that nothing can ever change these things that God has decided that will happen. So things like who you will be born by, your parents, where you will be born, what your name will be, whether or not you will receive the gospel. It is in this decreed will of God that is our hope of salvation in Christ. These are the things that God has ordained since the beginning. Right? We place our hope solely on Christ because this is something that will never change. Not to get too much into it, but there's also the perceptive will, which is God's will expressed in the law. So for us, that is the Bible. The preferential will, which is the things that gives God pleasure. Pastor Sam touched on that last week. Then there's the permissive will, things that God allows, although it displeases him. Since we know that God is fully in control, and there's nothing that can happen outside of his decreed will, and yet he does allow things to happen, such as sin. Right? There are things that we do that do not please him. And it's not that he doesn't have the power to stop you, but that he gives you the freedom of choice. And then finally, there's the directive, or I like to call it the discerned will. That's God's personal guidance for each and every person's life. Now, these things are not mutually exclusive. In fact, most of the times they are working together. So if I were to take an example like John the Baptist, it was foretold to his father Zacharias that his barren wife would have a son. Now, he didn't have a choice. This is God's decreed will. God was telling him, you will have a son. But the angel Gabriel told him that you will need to name him John and he will have to be a Nazarite. And then that, Zacharias was obedient. Following God's preferential will, he named John just as he was supposed to. They raised him as a Nazarite. Even for Jesus, right? The decreed will. We knew what tribe he would be from, which family he would be born of. We even knew his hometown. So those are the things that were not going to change. And at the same time, you know, Christ came, and when he was about to go to the cross, he was concerned about what pleased God. But today, what I want to concentrate on is God's discerned will. It is possible for the Christian to know what God desires for them. Now, some examples would be if you had read Acts, you know, when Paul is planning on going on a mission trip to Asia in order to preach the gospel, instead, God gives him a dream. And instead, in the dream, God tells him to go to Macedonia instead. Ananias receives a vision from God to pray for Paul so that the scales would fall from his eyes, and in that time, he would baptize Paul. And, you know, God will even call people in their sleep. For some of you guys who've read Samuel, you know, Samuel was trying to go to bed, and God called him, and called him until he answered, and then God told him to prophesy. So, let's take a look back at verse 13. Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Now again, Pastor Sam said it's not wrong for us to plan. However, it is wrong for us to disregard God, God's preferential and discerned will, to not care about what pleases him, to not care about what God wants or desires for our lives, instead choosing to what we want to do. And that's the attitude of the person that Paul's speaking about here. I'm sorry, James. I don't know why I said Paul. So that person is one who does not seek God's will, nor care about what pleases God. And most people, I would say, even Christians, fall into this category. They make their plans, daily plans, future plans. They set their own agenda, and God has no part in it. God does not even figure into the equation. Most people will decide to go to college, whatever college they want, whatever jobs they feel like they deserve or desire, their spouses, their friends, none of those decisions ever factor in. And the sad thing is that as Christians, you know, we have been guilty of this as well. Let me ask you guys, most of us, most of you guys are still in high school, but for those who have entered into college or are going to college, did you seek God in, you know, the application process? Was there prayer going up when you were trying to determine what God's will was for you? If not, then it's close to what the person was in verse 13, that you had decided that this looks good to me. Let me just go ahead and do this. But there is a warning, and Pastor Sam likes to quote this one, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. And not physical death, but as we ignore God's will and ignore the things that pleases God, you'll find that you start moving to a place of spiritual death. That you will begin to ruin the relationship, you begin to taint the relationship you have with God. Because when you are disobedient, it hardens your heart to the point where you will no longer be able to hear his voice. So you see the result often, even inside the church, is that people fall into the wrong crowd. I've seen many people fall away from God after making their own choices, such as leaving certain fellowships, going to different colleges, marrying certain people. Tons of people hate their jobs. Ellie's nodding. But people are miserable. And if you had followed God's will, God does not necessarily give you a job that is fun or particularly pays a ton of money, although he might. But he doesn't give you a job that is going to wear on you and grind your joy out of living. And so those are the people who have not decided to adhere to what God has asked them to do. So the right thing to look at would be verse 15, and I'm actually going to address this. So if the Lord wills, we'll live also and do this or do that. The basic idea behind it is submission to God's will. So it's still concerned with pleasing God, but if you read it, you've got to be very careful. It's not that you say, you go out and do whatever you want, and in that moment you can say, oh, if God wills, then it's going to happen. So it's like, I'm just going to apply to any college I want to apply to. I'm going to apply to any job I want to. And whatever job I get, that's what God wanted. That's not what God is teaching here. It's not permission for us to be lazy and to do whatever we want and then, tacking on the phrase, if God wills, at the end. I like that boat analogy I give you guys often. What's the Christian life like? You're sitting in a boat in the sea, and you have a paddle. The Bible, God's word, is your boat, keeping you afloat. The paddle is prayer in order to guide you into God's will, his discerned will. This verse here that says, if the Lord wills, does not give you permission to put your paddle away and allow the sea to carry you wherever it takes you. That's not what it says here in the Bible. And I don't, Pastor Sam didn't get a chance to get to this point, but I really wanted to touch on this. And many times, Christians get into this automatic, automatic drive, or autopilot, that's a good way of saying it, autopilot. We get into this mode where we're obedient in the word, but completely neglectful of God's discerned will. You can obey all the laws. You can come to all the services, sing all the songs, can do all the outward things, and your relationship part can still be dead. The part where God can speak to you and you will respond. Yes, it's important for us to adhere to the Bible, to read it, to love it, to have it grow within us. But if you don't put it into practice, if there is no personal guidance of God in your life, it would be hard to say that you know God. You might know about God, but you don't know God. Seeking God's will is something that he expects. So it's not like this person in the verse is just saying, oh, if the Lord wills, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. God expects us to seek after his will. And how do I know that? Because in many places, God is depicted as a counselor, as a leader, someone who guides the blind and shows them the light. By him, we see all things. It says that in Romans 12, that if we have our minds transformed by the gospel and by his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Those things aren't in there, I'm just not reading. But if we have our mind transformed by those things, we will be able to prove the will of God. What that means is you will be able to know what God desires for you. Everyone can read the Bible. It's the same for everybody. But what God says to you personally is different. Some Christians struggle with the belief that God speaks. And yet, so I need to correct that kind of thinking today. When Israel was in the wilderness, God led them by a cloud. Right? The cloud would rise up, it would move, and when the people saw that, they would take up the tabernacle and they would move with it. Wherever it stopped, it would stop. God was leading them in that way. The Christian has the Trinity living within him. You have a direct line to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says in John 14, all the Trinity lives within you when you are obedient, when you have confessed, when you follow. And yet many of us don't take advantage of this. We decide that we want to live on the low level of Christianity. I don't know, the last time I was speaking with you guys, I spoke on walking in the Spirit. Does anyone recall any of that? If anyone walks in the Spirit, he will not walk in the flesh. This, what I'm talking about, this discerned will of God, this is the highest level of your relationship with God. It is beyond the beginning when you confessed on the truth that God is God, we sinned, Christ came, died for our sins, and that we were able to have a relationship with Him. That's the basic truth for everyone. But the highest level of walking in the Spirit is when God can say to you, I don't want you to look at that. I don't want you to listen to this. I don't want you to be friends with this person. I don't want you to take that job because I have something else for you. And so far from what I've seen is that most Christians don't live on that level. They live at the very bottom. They live at the, all right, I shouldn't, you know, I can't curse. I shouldn't be mean to people. I should tithe my 10%. And that's where they live. But they never get any further. And I'm telling you that the miracles of God, the ability to work powerful things in the lives of your family and your friends, to be powerful for the kingdom, to do amazing things for God, that doesn't lie at the bottom level. Where you just read, it's like, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. It's not there. And to actually live out this highest level with God, you have to be able to hear a still small voice and to respond. That when God says, I want you to get rid of this, and He's purifying you, getting you ready for the battles that are to come. If you don't do it, you won't be able to get there. You know, in Luke 12, there's this parable about a servant who's in charge of the house. And he has the ability to do well or to do poorly before the master returns. And at the end of the parable, it says, too much that is given, much will be demanded. For the Christians who aren't obeying God, who are only obeying God at the low level, He's not going to give you the important things. So many people want to know what is the meaning of their life, what is the vocation, what is God's calling, and yet you can't obey God on what God wants you to do tomorrow. Yeah? So many Christians want to know, God, how shall I live my life for you? Or, who will my wife be? These big questions you want to ask. These things are going to change your life radically. And yet you don't display obedience in the smallest things that God asks you to do. The small prodding when He's like, I want you to read your Bible today. Or the small proddings, you shouldn't have said that. You should apologize. You should forgive. You should repent. You should cut off the sins that cause you to struggle and to turn away from God. You can't obey those little things. You can't really expect God to show you the big picture because you won't be able to get there. I hope this is ringing true because you guys, although some of you are young, Joseph's the youngest, you guys are all getting older. And the will of God will become more and more important in your life as you go. Especially for the guys who are in college and above. You especially, this is the time to pray. It is not when you get to the moment, it is not, you know, in the job interview, it is before you go. It is not once you have the job, it's before you get the job. It's not what you take in, what classes, what major you take in college. When you're in your classes, it is before you even apply. Now, I remind you, it says, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If God is not on your radar on how you live your life, that is sin. And it says it right here. To him who knows what is right and does not do it, we know God desires for us to know His will. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. It's Proverbs 3, 5, 6. So this is what God is saying to each and every person here today. Begin to obey him, the small things, and he'll begin to reveal to you the big things. If you continue to neglect, if you continue to ignore, if you continue to put God aside and to do whatever you wish, whatever you will, that is sin, and you are tainting your relationship with God. Gosh, I really hope you guys are hearing what I'm saying this morning. Because for the Christian life to be fruitful, for the Christian life to be joyful, for you to feel fulfillment in your life, you will have to go through this. You will have to begin to cut off the things that God tells you to cut off. You will have to begin to get rid of the things that you desire and love and say yes to the Lord. And say, not my will, but your will be done. Only when you give up those things can you live in God's preferential will, his good pleasure. And only then will you feel his joy and his love in a way that is full. It won't be skewed. It won't be 50%. It won't be 70%. It'll be 100%. And I'm telling you this because I'm walking in that path right now. It's not always pleasing, you know, to the flesh. It's not always fun, because sometimes you actually give up really hard things. But what it is that I have fulfillment in my life. And I was the one who struggled with a reason to live. I would wake up in the morning and decide and ask myself, why am I getting up this morning? And I've told you this before. It's a struggle I have with, you know, apathy of living. And I'm just like, God, she just got me today. Fucking girl. But there is this thing about God's discernible in my life that I can see the goal. And I have to push on towards it. And the only way to do it is what I've been talking about this whole time. To seek and to pray. To be obedient. To seek God's will. And the only way to get it is with that paddle I was talking about in that boat analogy. Who's using it? Your prayers have to go beyond, Lord, I'm sorry for this. Lord, please give me this. It has to go beyond that. That's the low level. I'm asking you guys to come up and to experience the full joy, the full experience of relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'll close with this one thought. What will you do with your summer? No, okay, not for me, Nellie. Because we work like regular people. But if you're in school and you have a summer break, what are you going to do with your summer? Are you going to live in the low level? Are you going to just read your Bible, you know, one chapter a day, maybe, if it gets there? And then your Friday and Sunday service, and then do whatever you want with the rest of your time? Or will you seek God's will? And actually, I take that back with me and Elliot. We are always supposed to be doing this. But it's very upfront. It's very obvious, right, when you have summer right here. But I'm encouraging you guys not to make your own plans. Don't be like that guy that says, I'm going to do this and this and this, and ignore God. What I want you to do is say, not only if the Lord wills, I would do this, but Lord, what is your will? And go from there. Again, what are you going to do for summer? It's a lot of time to waste. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,